little economic story this morning that's involved with some fairly big social changes, or at least anticipating social changes, with gasoline prices at hovering at about $4 a gallon, and in many places in the United States, well over $4 a gallon. The idea of commutes and the places where we live and the use of automobiles for all kinds of activities is suddenly questionable. It's much more expensive to fill up the tank than it was even a month or so ago. Courtesy of our friends from Transportation Nation, we're teaming up to take a look at what this means across the country. And you can go to thetakeaway.org and see a map that actually shows what the prices are depending on your region of the country and how people are changing. You can hear stories of decisions being made based on the high price of gasoline. Nick Lawson joins us. You own a hybrid, right, Nick?
Yes, I do.
I gather at these prices down there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that hybrid is paying for itself much quicker than you thought when you bought it.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is.
What's your commute like?
Well, about once a week, I drive back to Joplin to visit friends and a girlfriend, and it's about a little over 100 miles. Well, each way, so about 200 miles all round trip.
And go to thetakeaway.org. You can see the map. It's Joplin, Missouri to Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's his commute. Are you considering changing that at all, possibly?
Not really. The only thing is I might go to grad school down in Arkansas. And so my girlfriend still has another year left in college here. So I'd be commuting from Fayetteville, Arkansas to Joplin, which is a little bit less, but not a whole lot.
Nick Lawson, a 25-year-old hybrid owner, part of the data set that you can find at thetakeaway.org, taking a look at how the transportation nation is affected by high gasoline prices. Chris Schultz, is that how I pronounce your name, Chris?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Any chance that your commute from Rhode Island to Boston is going to change?
Well, it definitely already has. I used to drive in and take the subway in from the suburbs of Boston. Now, in order to save gas, I'm actually getting up about an hour to an hour and a half earlier, hopping a local bus in Rhode Island into Providence, taking another bus, and then taking the commuter rail into Boston.
And how much money are you saving by doing that?
Well, I'd probably say I'm saving close to about $50 to $100 a week, depending on how much commuting I'm looking at doing.
That is a serious chunk of change there. Chris Schultz, tour guide and actor who commutes to Boston from Coventry, Rhode Island, and is now using public transportation as an option there. Chris and Nick, hold on for a moment. We're going to welcome in Andrea Bernstein, Director of Transportation Nation, our partner in this project. Andrea, does everyone who's considering changing their commute have the kind of options that Chris Schultz has to use public transit?
Well, sadly, no. And a matter of fact, in 2008, the last time this happened, a lot of people got on the bus. But what's happened in between that time, because of budget crisis locally, is a lot of areas have just cut their bus systems entirely. We've talked about Clayton County, Georgia, Greeley, Colorado. So people might want to take the bus, they might want to take a train, but there isn't a train to take. And in fact, just last week, the Brookings Institution did this very comprehensive study, and they found, about three-quarters of Americans live near transit, but less than a third can actually use that transit to get to their jobs. And that, I think, pretty much right there tells you what the problem is for people who are looking for alternatives right now.
And part of that is the strategy for the creation of those public transit systems didn't really include a rational look at what worker patterns were. And there's also the last mile problem, correct?
Right. That is true. I mean, people, you know, and I've talked to so many people about this in the last few years. You know, people will get on a train and maybe they'll take a train to a bus. But if it involves more than a mile walk on the end, if it involves more than two changes, it's just not worth it. And, you know, people will pay the extra gas. And, you know, I think if gas prices continue to go up, we may see a point where people are like, okay, I'm going to make that extra transit transfer. I'm going to walk that extra mile because they have no choice. And I'm sure there are people out there listening right now. I have met them who have had to quit their jobs because they can't afford the gas. If you're making a minimum wage job and you've got to drive an hour each direction and your car's getting 15 miles a gallon, just do the math. That is happening. So, you know, when people have alternatives, sometimes they just have to take them as inconvenient as they are.
Andrea Bernstein is Director of Transportation Nation, our partner in a public radio project based out of our flagship station right here in New York, WNYC Radio. You know, Nick Lawson, we refer to people's driving habits as though it's some sort of thing you do passively, but, you know, commuting for you isn't really a habit. It's more of a necessity. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is right now in the situation I have.
And, you know, so even is there any public transit option for you out there in Tulsa to Joplin?
No, not from Tulsa to Joplin. There's really not.
And if you do this Arkansas commute, there's not going to be a bus or a train that's going to help you out there either.
Yeah, no, that's not going to be possible.
And Chris Schultz, quickly, the driving habits is the wrong way of describing how dependent you are on going from Rhode Island to Boston, correct, Chris?
Well, when it comes to my work as a tour guide with the Freedom Trail, yeah. But as a performer, I do other work as well, and that takes me into other directions besides Boston. I have actually had to make the choice and actually have had to pass up work based on what I might make going to, say, certain parts of Connecticut or certain parts of New Hampshire versus what I'm looking at spending in gas to get there.
Wow. Chris Schultz and Nick Lawson, two data points on our Transportation Nation look at how high fuel prices are affecting people's behavior. Andrea Bernstein, final thoughts?
Yeah, sometimes when people can't make different commuting choices, they do other things, like they cut out restaurants, and, you know, all of this starts to affect the shaky, recovering economy.
So $4 a gallon prices of gasoline not only change people's behavior, but also have a ripple effect throughout the economy. Go to thetakeaway.org, see the map, be a part of it. Tell us the story of how high gas prices are changing your life. Andrea Bernstein, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Andrea is the Director of Transportation Nation, our partner in this project.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.